Mr. Sherlock, Reel 3. Now, you had the rank while you were with the 14th of Acting Unpaid Lance Corporal. Could you just explain what that was? It's an old British Army thing, isn't it? You weren't a Lance Corporal, but you acted as one.
Well, I was allowed to wear a stripe, but I wasn't paid any more than a private. That's all it amounted to. And presumably because there wasn't room in the establishment for another Lance Corporal, but they thought that I'd be useful to have a stripe and exercise a little bit of supervision, that's all.
And that's... So, what were you... Did you have any duties other than supervision of...
No, I just became sort of an assistant, either a section leader or assistant section leader within a platoon. That meant I had six boys, bodies to look after. And and eventually, when there was a room, I had been made a Lance Corporal, which I think I was at the 14th. When I got the 14th, I was given a Lance Corporal job.
So you're acting unpaid had been when you got there, right at the beginning, or when you left Brandsburg?
I can't remember how soon. I fancy that when I got there, I was still acting unpaid. But very shortly afterwards, I became a paid Lance Corporal. And then sometime after that, and I can't remember how long, I became corporal. Which meant that at least I was making my way.
Now, how long were you with them before you had to go to Octu?
I think maybe 4 or 5 months. Which meant that I went to Octu again, I think, about the February of 1914.
Now, how did you come to go to Octu? Had you thought of, you were a corporal, had you thought of becoming an officer?
No, I made no personal moves, but being an ambitious sort of fellow, I was always ahead in the back of my mind that if the opportunity arose, I would go.
And how did the opportunity arise?
Well, I was asked by my company commander whether I was interested. And I said yes. And almost immediately, I was sent to Worsley, a War Office Selection Board. That was a 3-day affair.
And what was it? What exactly happened on the Wisby? How were they going to tell whether you were suitable?
We were put into small squads. We were asked, we were each given chances to lead the squad. And we were given little tasks to do, like you're standing here and you've got to get there and fight. You've got a large stream to get over and one thing another. That's all there is to be got a hold of. How do you do it? We had to tackle quite large obstacles in one way or another. We did what ultimately would be termed battle training courses. And then we did psychiatric tests. And we're interviewed by a psychiatrist.
What sort of tests?
Well, you know, the sort of thing is giving them a jigsaw puzzle, fit something in here, what's the odd man out here, and
so intelligence tests as well, as not just psycho.
That sort of thing.
And I think what about?
I think there was also a general knowledge test, you know. Right.
And what, did you have an interview about your background, you know, what...
Yes. I don't remember an awful lot about it, but we certainly had what was virtually just an interview about what sort of chap you were, what your education was, rather testing what your conversation would be like, that sort of thing.
Do you think there was... If you hadn't had a reasonably middle to lower middle class background, that you wouldn't have been accepted as an officer. Was there a bit of a... Would people from, you know, working class jobs not have got in, do you think? What do you feel about it?
Yes, I think it's true. There weren't many chaps, not at that stage anyway, who were outside what you might call the middle class net, who would get through. In the whole of my officer experience, I'm talking now about the whole war, I can only ever remember one chap, other than a chap who was promoted from the ranks. You know, a chap, sometimes they promoted him, a regimental sergeant major or sergeant major, without going through the drill at all. But other than that, I can only remember one chap whom I thought, I'm surprised he got through the net, you know, because he obviously lacked what you might call the elementary training for the middle class chap.
Anything else about the Wisby that you remember? Well, where was it, actually? I should have asked you that. Where did it take place?
So near Canterbury. Somebody, what was it? Again, I would think of it.
Doesn't matter too much.
It was near Canterbury.
Did most people pass?
No. As far as I remember, there were about four lots of six people, or 24. And as far as I remember, the classes were about 15 or 16. But I can't, I wouldn't be certain of that.
Did they tell you you'd passed at the end of the course, or did you have to wait a bit?
Yes, I'm pretty sure we did. I wouldn't be absolutely certain. I'm pretty sure that I knew when I came away that I passed. But whether that was an unofficial statement or whether it was official, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure when I went back to the battalion, I was able to say, yes, I'm going.
So you went from the battalion then to the OCTU?
Yes, at Mockham. 162 OCTU.
In Lancashire?
In Lancashire.
And what was the situation at Morecambe?
The OCTU was divided into something like three companies with a senior instructor who was from the captain, and the company itself was divided up into hutments of probably about a dozen each, and each of the dozen had a senior, a responsible senior appointed. But he changed. It was changed every week or so, something like that. So for a week, you were in charge of the. And the training was what you expect of the training to be. It was training in tactics, strategy, map reading. Of course, we were trained how to drill the platoon, how to give orders. And of course, a major, how to give orders for battle. we continued weapon training and any new weapons. I remember seeing Sten there, for instance. A lot more live ammunition used on training exercises than I had before.
What level of tactics was it at? I mean, what were the tactics we were trying to get through to you?
Well, sort of basic things like not leaving your blanket open, and watch your ear. And I remember getting in my first battle, getting in a terrible mess because I wanted to cover the back, front, and rear, and not realizing what was coming in. But those are the sort of basic things that you taught, that in defense you needed to cover all the possible points of attack. And in attack, that probably frontal attack wasn't a good idea, that you must learn how to infiltrate and all sort of thing.
What about the importance of covering fire? Was that...
Oh, yes.
In attack, was that?
That's literally part of tactics. The two tactics were always, you had three sections, and one would give covering fire, while one for and one would be in reserve, and so on, and you leapfrog and that sort of. I think that basically the lessons which were given were good in principle, but again in retrospect, the actual practice in battle, where it's barely recognizable with the sorts of things we did at Oxio. But I think that's inevitable because you these exercises were unreal. You didn't have anybody actually firing at you. Your intelligence was far too good. You were supposed to know about your enemy a good deal more than you ever knew about your enemy. And so on. And all these things made it a bit unreal. Nevertheless, the principles were good enough.
What about you mentioned the giving orders, or drill orders, giving attack orders, you know.
Yes.
Well, did they teach you the art of command, the art of making men follow you, the art of being an officer, or was that presumed to be inherent?
I think it would be an exaggeration to say that they managed to teach you the art of command. I think what they did, they taught you how to give orders. They taught you what really, in a way, they should have been teaching the private you're commanding, that they had to obey your command. But you didn't learn, adopt you, how in fact to get the confidence of your men. But I think that would have been very difficult. During the war, I think that out of every, let's say, in a battalion, out of every four company commanders, you would certainly have three who knew pretty well how to manage them, but you would have a fourth who wasn't good at it. And I think it all matter both of experience and of the chap's own intelligence, the chap's own knowledge of people.
Right. Did they teach you how to behave as an officer in the mess, that sort of thing? I mean...
Yes, oh yes. In a limited way, I wouldn't say there was any big emphasis put on it, but in a limited way, yes. But I would say this, that at the end of the war, when I was transferred from the Durhams to the second Hampshires, who by which time had almost taken on a peacetime mess that I was struggling.
Right, well, I'm sure we'll come back. Anything else that you remember learning at Octu?
Well, at Octu, again, there were plenty of opportunities for people to demonstrate what they were good at. For instance, they believed that you should try and entertain yourself. Well, as I said before, I was very fond of singing, I was very fond of music. And so I got a choir together, and I used to conduct a choir for concerts and things like that. Now, this probably did me a lot of good, because it was a leadership business. And also I got a lot of publicity from it, that sort of thing, for sure. There were lots of distractions because the Morecambe was full of WAPs. There was something like about roughly 100 WAPs to every single surgeon in Morecambe, which wasn't very good for me. But it was one of those things which you had to contend with.
How long were you there for?
Four or five months, really.
And where did you go from there?
Back to the 14th.
And were they still at Shorncliffe Barracks?
I went back, yes. They were there for about... They were there for about a week or so after I got back there. Then we went from Shorncliffe Barracks to Paignton and Devon. So we stayed there about a month.
Now, how come you'd been posted back to your old battalion? Because that didn't used to be the thing. I mean, normally you'd be posted... Did you regard it as lucky, or would you rather... Because often officers don't get and don't want to be posted back to where they were at other ranks.
Well, I know that I'd said and asked about it that I would like to go back to the Durhams. And it was the 14th I went back to.
And when you arrived back at Shore, which company were you put into this time? You were C the first time.
Not the one I'd come out of. That was when I went to Major Brown's company, it was B, I think. B, if I'm right.
And how did the officers make you welcome, Major Brown, for instance?
Yes, I think so. I don't remember having any problems anyway.
Did they give you any...
The only problems you had, if you had any at all, was always with... Even like Sergeant Majors, who remembered he was a corporal, and then suddenly found you an officer in the mess, and they were a bit condescending.
In what way?
Well, they wouldn't hesitate to make it clear if they thought you were barking up the wrong tree.
That you should never have got a commission.
I don't know whether they went to start that, but certainly I think they always thought they could have done the job better than you anyway.
So you were in Major Brown's company. Which platoon? You would have a platoon, I presume?
Yes.
Did it have a number? Or?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Do you remember who your your company sergeant major and platoon sergeant majors were?
The company sergeant major, the fellow called Rochester.
What was he like?
Whom I've met several times since. Although he never came out to... I don't know where he went to during the war. He certainly was still at the 14th when I left. And
Was he helpful to you, or was he one of the ones who looked down on you a bit?
Well, when I went back, he was certainly one of those who was a bit condescending. But actually, we became quite good friends. I don't remember quite honestly throughout the war, although Europe was had NCOs and so on, who with young officers were inclined to give the impression that they wondered that they knew what you were about. But I don't remember having any real problems with NCOs or sergeant majors at all. I always seemed to get on fairly well with them.
Now, what was Major Brown like as an officer?
Who?
Major Brown.
Oh, he's a very fine officer. He's very good. I got it well with him. I don't know. Again, it's very difficult in this respect to say what. I know what, at the time, I just thought he was easier to get on with than I expected.
Now, how did you get on with your platoon, the other ranks in your platoon? When you know, because the first time you met them, it's a bit of a challenge to you to make sure, keep order and military discipline. And how did you set about it? And
I don't know. I certainly don't remember having any difficulties. I don't think that I knew any of them particularly well. In other words, I wasn't coming back to the lads that had been in Billerton. They were either in a different company or had moved on, perhaps been posted elsewhere. So, whereas there would be the odd one or two I might have known, in general, they were new. And I certainly don't think that I had any trouble with them. The first job you always do when you come into that situation is to find out what their names are, where they come from, whether they know the places you know. And you try hard to remember all their names. And I got fairly good at remembering names. You find out from the sergeant major who the difficult ones are, what they're likely to be up to, and whether you're likely to have to watch them or not. And of course, the people you really want to be sure you know are the section leaders, the corporals, platoon sergeant. They're the people you really rely on. If you've got a good sergeant to get on with, then it's half of that.
And what were yours like, your NCOs? Were they all right?
I don't remember having any problems with any of them, but that may just be as time. I think you forget that.
And what was the...
If there'd been any serious problems, I would remember.
What was the battalion mess like? You know, that's where you'd meet the senior officers.
We had two lots of arrangements, and I think I can remember them. When we were at Shorncliffe, we had a battalion mess. And that was very pleasant.
Was it formal at all? I mean, you've mentioned it wasn't very formal, but would there be things like waiting on the, you know, wait for the colonel to leave that?
There were mess waiters who, by and large, were senior officers of Batman.
Was there any protocol about
the cooks, of course, were separate.
What about the protocol of the mess? I mean, were there rules about what you could talk about, that sort of thing?
Well, once we were in barracks, we observed a fair amount of proper protocol. Although we didn't do any, at least we, I remember once having what you might call a formal mess night down at Drunken. Where we had guests and Mr. President and stuff and passed the port around that. We did some of that after the war. Before the war, things were fairly stringent and they tried not to overdo the formality of the mess.
Long ago, there used to be, you weren't allowed to mention women or the war and things, or religion. Were there bans on conversation, that sort of protocol still? Or was it a working mess?
It certainly didn't happen abroad. In England, there was a little bit more attention to, those things about the total business and so on. But abroad, the whole thing, I was going to say deteriorated, but that's not quite right. The whole thing levelled out to the habits of the middle ranking part of the mess. So that, so far as we were concerned, for instance, people like myself, like a fellow called Coots, who was an insurance bloke, a chap called Alan Hay, who was an accountant, and so on. All of us who weren't army people at all, we were the people who actually made the rules for the conduct of the mess, because we were in the ascendancy.
That's clear enough. What about in England? Would you play mess games at all? These daft games they used to play in the mess.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which ones would they play in?
They happened more or less when we were out of the line, well out of the line.
I mean, this is in England.
We didn't have many mess games in England. But for a lot of the time in England, we didn't have battalion messes.
That's you mentioned. So when you went to Paignton, it was company messes.
That's right. When we went to Paignton, and later on we went up to somewhere else.
What was the difference? A company mess would be much more informed.
Well, it was just a fewer people. So you only had probably the company commander and three officers. That's all it was. So it turned down into a bridge for, that sort of thing. And what's more, the financing of a little mess like that became something quite different. You just had you got your food from the company medicals, cookhouse, and you financed it yourself. So it was only when we had battalion messes that you got any of the formalities.